podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
In the European Union, as elsewhere, drugs are approved for marketing after closely controlled and monitored clinical trials. But when these drugs are released into the broader market, they're often used by a larger patient population for a longer period of time and under many different circumstances. In the real world, certain side effects may arise, which must be monitored and managed to ensure patient safety. This is the domain of the European Qualified Person for Pharmacovigilance, or QPPV. I am Ranjini Prithviraj, Senior Managing Editor and Associate Director for DIA Publications. Today I am joined by Ricky Edwards, who serves as QPPV and Vice President of Pharmacovigilance Excellence for AbbVie in the United Kingdom. Vicky also served on the program committee for the recently concluded 11th Annual Forum for QPPVs in Europe. We're so grateful she has joined us to share her expert perspective on pharmacovigilance in the EU. Thank you for being here, Vicky. Welcome.
Thank you, Ranjini. I'm very happy to join you today.
QPPVs have attended this yearly meeting for more than a decade. How many of you attended, either as a member of the program committee or as a participant?
Actually, I have attended them all, and I have been on the program committee for each of the meetings.
Oh, so that you have a long history with DIA. That's great. At this year's meeting, you chaired the Hot Topics from Industry Perspective session. Would you please review for our listeners the most important topics that were discussed in the session?
The Hot Topics session is a very popular session at the forum, and we introduced this session 2 or 3 years ago, and it was following feedback from the delegates. And we get a lot of the delegates attend from small and medium-sized companies, and these companies tend not to be members of the trade associations. They don't easily get access to the important topics that the industry is actively engaging with the regulatory authorities on, discussions around either improving regulation and guidelines or feedback on draft regulations and guidelines. And so this session is introduced as an opportunity to bring the delegates up to date with what are the hot topics in pharmacovigilance, what topics is the industry talking to the EMA and the European regulators about in order to influence the future. So what did we talk about this year? This is conducted through a kind of panel discussion, and I invite the speakers to give bite-sized presentations around the topic. So it's 10 minutes maximum on the topic. So they give the headline news about what's going on, what have we in the industry achieved since we last spoke to them, and what are any new issues that are arising. And I think the three topics that were covered of probably the most importance and most interest to folks this year was the topic of reference safety information. There has been a lot of dialogue between the industry and regulators over what should reference safety information for clinical trials look like. And there's been a lot of feedback from particularly the MHRA in this space, and it has actually required the industry to change their approach to RSIs. That dialogue is still ongoing, and there have been a lot of very productive interactions between the industry and the regulatory authorities in this space. And I think we're hopeful that we have been able to explain our position and get clarification of what are the expectations now, because there is no doubt that the expectations have changed. And so the industry is trying to keep on with that. Another key topic was the update to Module 9, which is the signal management GVP module. So Module 9 was sent out for public consultation earlier in the year, and at the time of the conference, we were awaiting the final version. And the industry had given a lot of feedback on the draft module and really looking for clarification as to roles and responsibility. And there's been some confusion around some of the definitions used. So there has been a lot of very, very productive and interactive dialogue and conversations between the industry and the regulators. And subsequent to the QPPV forum, we have actually received the finalized version of Module 9. And I'm delighted to say that most of our feedback and suggestions and requests for clarification have actually been addressed in that new module. So that was a very positive outcome for the industry. And I think the third topic that remains very high on our list of things that we would like to see some change in the future is the way that we have to handle safety information from patient support programs. So we gave an update on the present activities that's going on within the trade associations with a view to being able to maybe persuade the European regulators that we can take a more risk proportionate approach to how we manage safety information from patient support programs than is currently the case. We have been repeatedly asked by regulators to provide some data and some evidence to support the arguments we've put forward in the past, and we've not actually been successful in doing that. There is now an activity ongoing through an organization called Transcelerate, where they are actively looking at data across companies that we really hope is going to show that there is an awful lot of effort that goes into collecting information from patient support programs and that the value of the information that we receive is very low. So we're hoping that that evidence will then enable us to form a suggestion of how we might, as I say, in a more risk proportionate way, look at what we collect and how we collect it and when we collect it from these programs. So that was a kind of update on a topic that has been an ongoing discussion with the regulators for several years now. And I'm hopeful that we can make some pragmatic proposals in the near future for better management of patient support programs.
Very interesting, Vicky. Now, moving on to the Q&A session, Brexit and its impact on pharmacovigilance activities. What, in your opinion, were the key takeaways from that session?
So this is an interesting session because obviously Brexit is a hot topic, particularly for those of us who reside in the UK, because it has very, very specific impact to QPPVs who are located in the UK, because post-Brexit, the QPPV will have to be located in one of the EU 27 member states. So there's much discussion as to how to make those transitions and thinking about the personal impact on QPPVs. And I think it's a particular concern for independent QPs, QPs who support small companies, because the change impacts people's livelihoods, obviously. And for small companies, they can rely 100% on their independent QPPV for all of the expertise around pharmacovigilance. And so for small companies having to make that change, they have to go and look in Europe for somebody who's got the right background and experience, bring them on board, train them up into the role, and then train them up on the products that are in scope for that particular company, and get to know the data, the safety issues. And that's a big change, and that's not something you can achieve overnight. And so what the industry is trying to do is to build an argument that can put forward to support a generous implementation period that will allow these transitions to be made without putting patients at risk. Because if the QPPV is not fulfilling their role and fulfilling all legal obligations, then there is a potential impact to patients or a delay to getting access for patients to new medicine if the pharmacovigilance requirements are not being fulfilled. So I think that there was a lot of discussion about the impact on QPPVs. For larger companies, QPPs based in the UK have to make a decision if they want to move and relocate within the same company. If not, they have to consider their options. Are there alternative positions for them within their existing employer, or are they having to consider moving outside to a different role in another company? So there are lots of significant questions for those QPs based in the UK. We also heard from Mick Foy, who was there speaking on behalf of the MHRA, and he was talking about post-Brexit life in the UK. And it's clear that the MHRA will require there to be a UK QPPV. And it's my understanding that that will be a very similar role to the EU QPPV, in that that individual will carry legal obligations associated with the role. So that will possibly be an opportunity for those UK-based EU QPPVs, so that might help out, might solve some of those issues around people who are thinking what's next for them. But of course, it also does mean that from an industry's perspective, if the MHRA establish an independent regulatory regime around pharmacovigilance, then this is yet another regime that we have to be able to work with. And there is the potential for duplication of effort if the MHRA take their pharmacovigilance legislation away from the European legislation that we're used to working with. So I think there is concern in the industry that divergence of regulation and therefore duplication of efforts will result from the MHRA moving out of Europe. We also had a speaker from the EMA, and she was talking about the European impact of Brexit, and that was an interesting viewpoint. And they are in the planning stage at the moment. Nobody knows yet even where the EMA is going to be relocated. And so I think the message was we're still in a wait and see mode. So everybody, there's a lot of discussions ongoing between the industry and the EMA and the European Commission. And they're trying hard to understand the industry position, which is good. They're taking it very seriously, which is good. At the moment, there is still a repeat message that as of the 30th of March 2019, the UK will be a third country, and we need to be planning for that eventuality.
So is there anything QPPVs can do in advance to prepare for this relocation of the EMA?
I don't think so, really, other than watch the news. There's a lot of the Commission have been very transparent about who has made a bid for the relocation, and the results of those proposals have been are publicly available. And really, it's just kind of wait and see. We're expecting to have the decision announced on the 20th of November. But from a QPPV's perspective, there's no need for the QPPV to be located in the same country as the EMA. And so from that perspective, it's really just wait and see. I don't think there's any preparation. I don't think you would do anything differently if the EMA were to be located in Spain, from Germany, from France, or different from what we're doing, given that it's located in the UK.
Are there any proposed relocation destinations that would have a greater impact on pharmacovigilance than others?
I don't believe so, because the location, other than, I suppose the major impact is how quickly can the EMA relocate and have a full complement of staff that are fully trained and competent. That is the risk. So it's really the issue of the relocation itself rather than where they move to, I think, are the major concerns, because we don't yet know how many staff are prepared to move. And if that is not the majority of the staff, then time it takes to recruit and train people up is not a short period of time. And in fact, I read an article just today from the head of the EMA saying that it can take 5 to 6 years to get experts fully trained to function at the level that they need to function for these important roles within the EMA. So that really does put a question mark in your mind about how smooth this transition can be. And it really does beg the question of, are we going to be able to negotiate a reasonable implementation period post-Brexit to allow everybody, not just the EMA, to transition into the new world, but the industry as well, where we're looking also to maybe replace staff. It's an issue that we shouldn't underestimate, the issue of expertise and replacement of expertise. People don't grow on trees.
So what topics do you anticipate will grow in importance between now and the next annual QPPV forum?
Brexit will remain at top of mind for a lot of us until we have a clear understanding of what the future is going to look like. So I think that will continue. I think that the topic of real world evidence, big data, there's so much going on in that space at the moment. And I think that will continue while we all understand, you know, how many stakeholders are involved, who's looking for what information and data, where is it relevant, and how do we effectively and efficiently collect this information, give the right people access, and make those evaluations that actually inform the safe use of medicine. So I think that this is a hot topic, and it's not just within the confined world of pharmacovigilance. It goes way beyond. It's a very broad topic, and I think this one will continue to be a hot topic. I think also the issue of technology, we are all working in an environment where we need to do more with less. So we're all looking at smart ways for automation, process efficiencies, and we'll be looking for technology to help us in this space. We're seeing a lot of really cool stuff going on in the space of natural language programming. Can technology identify potential adverse events without human intervention? So I think things like that is going to be the way to go. So I think technology will continue to be a hot topic. And I think that particularly from a European perspective, next month we see EudraVigence become the central database for Europe. So there's a lot of activity here, and there will be a lot of sort of practical operational questions around the functioning of EudraVigence. And with that comes access to EudraVigence for signal detection purposes. And when I talked earlier on about Module 9, that's where this comes in. So I think there'll be a lot of discussions about how is the industry coping with that. We know that there will only certain products will be in scope. So those products that have additional monitoring requirements, so black triangle products. So for the first year, there are only those products in scope. And I said there's going to be a lot of discussions about how valuable is the activity, how well does it work for the industry, what's the impact on regulators. So I think there will be a lot of those practical discussions about how are we managing in the here and now.
Right. So lots going on and a lot to look forward to.
Absolutely.
So thank you again for sharing your insights today, Vicky.
You're welcome. It was nice to talk to you.
For DIA Global Forum, I'm Ranjini Prithviraj.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.